Welcome to Minute Impossible. Your mission, should you choose to accept it, is to investigate with us the Mission Impossible franchise 1 minute at a time. I'm Jonathan.
I'm Chris.
I'm Johnny.
And I'm Alan.
We have two new guests today, Chris.
Ah.
Guests that have never been on.
That's
They're
awesome.
Shiny like a new penny, and I cannot wait. Let's get started.
Let's get ready to rumble.
She's the international woman of mystery on her podcast, The Austin Powers Minute. First-time guest and Pac-Man enthusiast, Johnny Powers. No relation to Austin Powers, all rights reserved. Welcome, Johnny.
Thanks for having me. I love that intro so much. I was like dancing the whole time. Like,
wait until there's music behind it. It'll sound even better.
I love it.
That's why you got to pick your own music. And then, and our other guest. He's the host with the most who couldn't get enough of Good Morning Vietnam and was too cool for MTV. He's an honest-to-goodness talk radio host for 95.5 WSB. Welcome, another first-time guest, Alan J. Sanders.
Thanks so much for having me. And I should have got the vodka, I think, for this scene instead of bourbon.
Oh, you're drinking bourbon. No, that's the wrong thing.
I know. I should have been drinking the clear stuff instead of the brown stuff. Of course, with kids.
Never drink the brown stuff. Yeah. That's what my mother
I grew up in Detroit, in the snow. You don't eat the yellow snow, so I should have learned a lesson.
I thought I detected a Detroit accent.
Yeah, I sound like I'm from the South, don't I?
Well, welcome, guys. We're on minute 26. We're unfortunately, we're inside of a room the whole time, but there's actually a lot going on. So
lots of good hair going on.
There's so much. Well, only good hair from one person. The other person has almost no hair. This minute begins with Ethan and Commander Swanbeck finishing their apologies and ends with a video. So here we are. We're in the minutes.
Yep.
Since you guys are new, we can talk about kind of what your background is with this. I know you'd seen this movie before. Johnny, had you seen this before?
No.
Have you still seen this movie?
I have not seen this movie.
Really?
So you're just doing these minutes.
It's interesting. It's okay, so
it's like waiting for Godot at this point. It's literally two guys talking.
Well, it's Mark was like, "What minutes do you have?" And I was like, "The one with Hannibal and
that's actually not bad.
The one with Hannibal. That's all that's all you know him from.
Right? He's like, "Oh, that's the Mission Impossible 2. It's like the one that they like people love the most." And I was like, "Great."
I don't know what Mark's talking about because most people don't love this movie a lot.
So clearly it's just him.
I like it a lot.
Chris likes it a lot.
A lot.
Oh, no. This is terrible. It's the worst of the franchise. Absolutely the worst.
Yes. I got Alan on my side. Yeah.
See, I'm more on the side of Mission Impossible 3 being my least favorite. That's the one I don't watch at all. Like, I won't watch it. If it's on TV, I'm like, there's going to be something else on. And I don't know why. It's just, I can't get into it.
We talked about this a couple of weeks ago, but what I think we figured out and what I figured out, and I said it to Chris, and Chris agreed with me, so I must be smart.
Yes.
I said, to you, it's a good John Woo movie.
Yes, that's exactly what it is. It's a great John Woo movie.
It's a bad Mission Impossible movie. And not bad. I mean, I'm doing the dumb thing. It's not that bad. It's just, it's not as good as it gets.
No, I agree with that, though. I mean, I agree with that, you know. But I'm also the same mindset that there's no such thing as a bad James Bond movie. So, you know, who am I, you know?
I mean, that's not necessarily true, but...
Well, exactly. This is one of the few franchises that actually gets better as they go along. This is the one hiccup. I mean, I liked the first one. It took a huge step down with number two. To me, it reinvented itself in number three, and it's just been skyrocketing since.
Yeah. I don't think it didn't really grab me again until the fourth one. And it wasn't even the beginning. It wasn't until like the end of the fourth one that I really got into it too.
Do you just not like J.J. Abrams' style of storytelling or filmmaking?
I think at the time when J.J. Abrams made the third one, to me, he was still making TV stuff. And that movie feels like a TV movie and not like a Mission Impossible movie. Now he's much more cinematic.
Yeah.
But like, I think I may have said this before, but like with Force Awakens to Last Jedi, I feel like there was a big jump in quality as far as filmmaker concerned. Because I watched Last Jedi and I feel like a filmmaker made it. And I watched Force Awakens, I think it's a J.J. Abrams movie. And that's no offense to him. It's just his films have a certain style, look, and very, very they all still feel like TV, even though he's made huge stylistic jumps since then.
So a TV show changed into the movies. It bothered you that it felt like a TV show from whence it came.
Yes. No, actually, it felt more like Alias still, which, of course, that's why Tom was going for. But I do like him as a director. I just think that his style is not as cinematic as I would like.
That's
like
fair.
Brian De Palma was cinematic to me. And even Brad Bird and Chris McQuarrie, they're all very, and John Woo even, they're all very cinematic directors to me. And J.J. Abrams wasn't there yet. I think he's getting there. I think he's almost there completely. So my fingers are crossed.
He's still a young guy. Yeah. I mean, he doesn't have the exact same career. I think in his mind, he was trying to be like a younger Spielberg.
Yeah, oh yeah.
But Spielberg and Lucas had done massively cinematic movies by the time.
And, I mean, even with Spielberg, when you look at Duel, there's no way I'd go and watch that if I hadn't known it was a TV movie and think, oh, that's a TV movie. You know, but TV movies in the 60s and 70s were very different than they are now. So just my opinion.
Well, it's your podcast, so we can you can use your opinion at any time. So that's good. No one's opinion is bad.
No, I'm here for all of them.
Unless it's wrong and it's contrary to mine. Yeah. Other than that, it's right.
Yeah, the only thing we really disagree on completely is the Fast and Furious, right, Jonathan?
No, you haven't seen them.
Yeah, I know exactly.
I think they're awesome.
I like the first one a lot.
Your ignorance doesn't play anything. Only wrong because you're ignorant.
I've seen only five of those, but. That's five more than Mission Impossible, unfortunately.
Well, you can. We'll after this. We'll get you to watch. Mark obviously is into it, so we'll get he can have you watch a few of them.
Well, he's going to try to make me watch them all so that we can see the new one because of Henry Cavill.
That's a good reason to see it. But it's such a good
King's
movie.
Stash is our favorite thing.
Yeah,
the mustache.
I loved him in The Man from U.N.C.L.E. So it's like,
oh yeah, then you'll definitely like this.
Yeah.
Well, because you like spy movies,
clearly.
And that is the great, and that was a quintessential spy movie.
Okay,
oh, yeah.
Spy movie, Tom Cruise, they're completely different circles. Like, I'm not a huge
they
Tom
are now.
Cruise fan.
The first Mission Impossible movie is a spy movie.
Okay.
From now on, it's not. It's an action movie draped explosions
stunts.
And spying and death-defying stunts.
Well, I thoroughly love the first one. I know we're not covering that one, but I love that whole idea of the subterfuge of trying to figure out what was going on. That's why, for this second iteration, I was expecting that, and maybe that's why I hate it as much as I do, because I felt like we turned it into a comic book.
Well, Chris and I both saw this right after we had graduated, maybe 3 years after college.
Yeah.
And when we first saw it, we were all into John Woo. 2000 was like prime John Woo. And we were all like, yeah, this is going to be awesome. John Woo, it's going to be insane. And we went, oh, no, it's just insane. It's not good. It's just it's crazy. It's just like, what is happening?
It literally is the sequel to Face Off that he never got to make. I mean, it really feels that way.
I mean, there's lots of faces that come off in this movie.
Yeah. Now, in the spirit of trying to be understanding, I know John Woo, his initial cut of this was about 3.5 hours long, and the studio went bananas. They said, no, absolutely not. Well, once you've already committed to storytelling for 3.5 hours, and you're going to take 90 minutes out, you're going to have plot holes, you're going to have gaps, you're going to have things that just don't make sense, and I think that's what I sense as a watcher.
Mm-hmm. Oh, yeah,
and
definitely.
You're not the only one. No. A lot of people have noticed that, and what we've been telling everybody is there's a whole other movie out there that would have helped with the fiber of this. I mean, this week alone, I've got the script, and I'm going to there's lots of scenes in this week that were not, I assume they were shot, but there's none of the cuts of this. So we don't know where this, we've talked about, we really want that footage.
Yeah.
We would like to see the John Woo cut of this, but it doesn't exist, but there are scenes. I mean, they go in some of your questions later this week may be answered by some of these secret scenes that just didn't happen even in this movie in right here now.
And we talked about it before in other minutes earlier in the series that if this were one of John Woo's Hong Kong films and it was in Mandarin or Cantonese or whatever choice they shot, this would have been an awesome movie. But because it's an American film and it's in English and it's got American actors in it, we're like,
I definitely understand that and give it that due. I'm like, you know what? It's right. I am harder on this because it's a bunch of white people running around. if it was Hong Kong cinema, I would be like, hell yes, this movie's insane. I love it.
Yeah, if it was Chow Yun-Fat instead of Tom Cruise, man.
Yeah, I wouldn't think anything of it. But I definitely brought some baggage to this movie. Oh, yeah. I'm like, what are they doing to my Mission Impossible, which was, you know, only one movie. Now, if I watched four right after one, I might even be like, what are they doing? I just happen to like Brad Bird. So, yeah. And McQuarrie. So, yeah, you know, that style has grown on me. And in this scene, get back to the minute. This is the scene where, God, I can never pronounce his name. Nikorovich. Dr. Nikorovich is at the beginning of the movie, he was doing a voiceover where he was explaining, Dmitri, how are you? All this stuff. And he, was explaining what Chimera and what Bellerophon were. We heard it. Now we're seeing the video and Ethan seeing it for the first time. So.
Well, you guys have been diving into this already. We're coming in fresh here in minute 26. Did you look up the significance of these two Greek references, the Chimera mm-hmm. and Bellerophon?
We did.
Yeah.
But you can go over them again if you want.
Well, obviously, everybody knows Chimera being the creature, the monster. But I think it's interesting that there's a second definition for Chimera that, or I'm saying it like him, Chimera. They say it's a thing that is hoped for or wished, but is illusory or impossible to achieve. So it works perfectly here for Mission Impossible.
It's not Mission Illusory.
No, it's not.
Mission Difficult. That's really interesting. I didn't know that. That is a good piece.
That is great.
There's the beginning of this video in the movie that we see. He explains what Bellerophon and Chimera is and starts talking about it. And that scene was longer. The original scene has him almost doing some banter with Tom Cruise. It starts out with I'm going to call him the Doc. Doc, it says, Doc. He's like, well, Dmitri, how are you? And then pauses to wait on Ethan, who's watching the video, to say hello back, even though he can't. That's in the script.
So weird.
And he's like, Ethan's like, I'm fine. And you? And you see him go, I'm fine. And then Ethan laughs. And then Ethan says, I'm fine. You're fine. So that's the beginning of it. At the beginning of the movie, he says this to fake Ethan. Johnny, just so you know, fake Ethan, there was a guy dressed up like Ethan at the beginning of the movie who killed this doctor and took the drug, the virus. Anyway, he says, I'm fine too. I'm fine and you're fine. Do you remember, dear friend, how you got Sergei and I to repeat those lines from Dr. Strangelove? See?
I told you.
They are talking about Dr. Strangelove.
I told you it was Dr. Strangelove.
He says, and we gave you that name of that silly Soviet premier because we didn't know your name. So they knew they were giving him a fake name, Dmitri. And in those days, you not only saved our lives, you saved our sanity. He again does not explain what that means. And my notes originally was, I want to hear that story. I want to hear the story of Ethan helping a biological weapons scientist.
That's the movie I want. That's the Mission Impossible who we should have gotten.
Well, that's what they were doing, but then they turned into this. And the most interesting character dies in the first, 8 minutes?
Eight minutes, exactly, yeah.
It's like, oh,
well, technically,
man,
he's back here, but sort of as a pre-recorded message.
Basically.
Right.
But he's wanting him to, you know, he's like, you need to get here within 20 hours, which we've already talked about. You can't get anywhere from Australia in 20 hours, so you're dead.
Maybe to Sydney.
Well, you can if you fly a private jet. You can get there a lot faster.
Commercial.
Yeah.
Yeah. Stupidly.
Well, but.
What do you mean I have to fly Aer Lingus? I don't want to.
Well, I know we're not going to get to it until the next minute, but even Tom Cruise realizes, well, you can't fly commercial.
So that was already a huge glaring error, and we'll talk about that in the next minute because there's a lot involved. He watches the video, and I'm going to say this now because it's going to become clearer as we move on. I don't like what's his name? I don't like Swanbeck, Commander Swanbeck, at all. This week solidifies it for me. later on, there will be proof. Right now, he's just kind of being a boss, and he and Ethan have this little banter. Later on, he's a jerk, and I do not like him.
When you watch this, this is just Sir Anthony Hopkins doing Sir Anthony Hopkins. I mean, this is just, he's delivering lines very well, the twinkle in his eye, but he could be very much like Johnny said, Hannibal. I mean, he there's the pacing, the style, the delivery. There's not a whole lot of difference here. I mean, he wasn't even credited in the movie. A lot of people in the audience are probably going, oh my gosh, Anthony Hopkins is in this. We didn't even know.
Yeah, this was last week we said he's just doing Hannibal.
Yeah, oh yeah.
He is.
Exactly, just doing American accent Hannibal. Yeah, it's not. It's pretty lazy. It's the writing that's lazy. He's great. I mean, he's a fantastic actor. So, of course, if you're going to have a scene with him, put him in a room together and just be like, all right, go for it. So, yeah, and this scene ends with Tom Cruise, with Ethan looking at the monitor still, worrying, I think, about his friend, not knowing what we're about to find out next week.
Well, can I bring up a problem I have plot-wise with this whole concept? This notion. I mean, it's one thing when you're talking about superheroes. How can you have a superhero if you don't have a villain? We're talking about a biological agent. And he's saying, well, we can't come up with a cure if we don't come up with the disease first. I mean, it makes no sense. Yeah. Like, we have to create the duality before we can create the cure. We have to have the disease. It makes no sense.
That's well, Cobra, man.
From the beginning, this is just like the first movie with that knock list. They made something, again, overly complicated.
Yeah.
The knock list, the whole movie of the knock list was like, now, why do they need the list? Why do they physically need the list? It's a fake list? We're like, but why do they need it? It's a bad plan. And this is the exact same thing again. It's happening. It started off as, it's going to be about biological weapons. Cool. But the way they're explaining it to me is, I have it in my body and I have the cure. Okay. But they didn't know that. So the guys killed the guy with the virus in him. And now they only have the cure. So now they need to go back to Australia and get the virus. And that's where the movie gets confusing.
But it's like you have to have, that's how humans work. It's like you have to create something destructive and then create something to stop the destruction. And then it just begets another destruction.
Like we created brick walls before we created seatbelts.
Sure.
But the logic here with a biological agent, they're trying to come up with some, like, before we could come up with the cure, we had to come up with the villain. We had to come up with this dreaded disease, and then we're going to come up with the cure for it. It's such a silly premise.
But it's more lucrative that way, because then the cure is a commodity that people need.
I thought you said you hadn't seen this movie, Johnny.
It's just
human. That's literally the plot of the movie.
It's human nature.
Well, you've cracked it, Johnny. Johnny's figured out Robert Towne, the writer. Wow. he's so deep.
So deep.
He's not deep at all.
Could write this movie in 5 minutes. Just kidding. I couldn't.
He probably did, and it's garbage. just wait. Just wait until he starts talking about women here in the next few minutes. It's bad.
Really mad. Smudged my paper because I got so mad.
That's some of that Mission Impossible 1 women talk coming back right there.
Oh, yeah. Well, one, their strongest female character is the driver of a getaway car and never touches the wheel of a car. So it's not good.
No.
It's not going to be strong female characters.
No.
This one's actually, Naya gets stronger as the movie goes on, but I think there were rewrites.
Yeah.
Because she's really good. Thandie Newton's fantastic. We've talked about it before. We love Thandie. So yeah, it's her character becomes stronger and actually is more interesting as the movie goes on. Right now, she's a victim.
Yeah.
So they also just banged last week. So that's a whole thing.
Yeah, she's a victim of a bad script.
Yeah, right. Yeah. Right, basically, but she's so young in this movie. She didn't know what she was doing.
No, she didn't. You know, she didn't know how to drive in that scene, right? On the right side of the road.
Yeah,
raised, so they had the stunt driver actually sitting below behind, so he could hit the brakes in case she screwed up.
I did not know that.
Yeah.
That's awesome.
Yeah.
Why didn't you tell me that, Chris?
I did tell you that.
Uh-oh. On the podcast?
Yeah, I said that she didn't know how to drive on that side of the street, so she couldn't do it.
Oh, no. You said you didn't know how to drive on that side of the street.
Yeah.
Alan's saying she didn't know how to drive.
No, she didn't know how to drive on the right side of the road, and they had a stunt driver in there with her hidden just in case.
All right. Yeah. Well, I wasn't listening.
No. It was probably one of those nights where we were up until like 4 a.m. with it.
You know? Wait a minute. You're like my co-host of the Wilder Ride, Walt. I'm like, Walt, I just said that.
I say a lot of things. And you know,
we just talk a lot.
We do.
God, you just keep talking and talking and talking.
And that
so much information.
I don't have a co-host, so I just talk to myself.
That actually sounds nice sometimes. Not that Chris isn't great. I love Chris.
Yeah, I love Jonathan.
Oh, I love you too, buddy.
All right, it's getting
especially when my whole week leads up to this, and I'm like, yay, I get to talk to people.
Aww.
Instead of sitting in my apartment.
Oh my God. Chris is a hermit.
Yeah, I am. I've been working. It's just edit.
He makes bombs.
Oh my God.
Just sits in my house and makes bombs.
If you want to call the edits that I'm making for these short films bombs, yeah. Yes, that is the case.
Sure. Helping fun bombs.
No, I love how it says DVD Mission Archive though on the screen.
Oh yeah, this is our first GUI interface for this movie. It's a lot better than the last movie.
Yes,
4 years is a huge difference in graphics quality.
Oh yeah,
but before it was all wireframes and Netscape. Remember?
Yeah. Right.
This time it's at least like cool side by side things and drop down menus, and it's much cooler.
And the screen in the back actually says IMF on it.
Yeah. You know, we can get into this next minute maybe, but I don't know if you've already talked about it, but because of the way this is shot, did you notice just how glassy-eyed both these actors are? That they light this scene intentionally to have like that spark in both of their eyes.
Yeah, they both have wet eyes.
Yeah.
Moist. And I don't know if that's just a John Woo thing.
All the burning of effigy. They're burning all those things outside in Spain. So it's just a lot of smoke, and they're just like...
Hey, man, what's going on?
Hey, man, it smells... They're getting high on their own supply.
Mm-hmm.
Well, guys, since you're new, we do Tech of the Ep every day. What you do is you find a piece of technology in the movie, in the minute that we're talking about, and we... voting's the wrong word. We literally just say what we all think is cool, and then we all kind of argue it if we feel... And it can be anything. I mean, we've had people pick chairs and bridges, so, I mean... Tech is out the door.
It's an idea.
It's basically whatever you want it to be. So, yeah, we can do Tech of the App. Here we go. Welcome back to Tech of the App. We're now in this beautiful room. It's much more. I got computers all along the walls. There's one of those Tesla coils over in the corner. Faraday cage.
Is a theremin in there?
There's a theremin right over here.
Exactly.
Don't touch.
All right, turn down my theremin. Yeah, don't touch it, kids. Stay away from my theremin. We'll do Tech of the App. Chris, let's have you start on this Monday.
I'm going to go with that lovely interface, the Mission Archive DVD.
It's an awesome DVD, and if you look at the beginning of it, it has different sections to it, and the sections are all... I got to put on my high-res screen here.
Ooh, high-res.
High-res. Having problems. It's a little blurry, but it has all these different contacts for this job. And can you guys see the actual name of the mission in the middle? It's called like double image or double face. It's the 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 7th cascading menu down. It says mission and then says double/ image or something. I hope it says double face, because that means to me that they like we're having to do some sort of doubling for Ethan, and it's like, what do you want to call it? Mission double face?
Okay, that sounds great. It's double image is what it is.
Maybe it's a thinly veiled Easter egg for face off.
That's what I think too. Yeah, double image. Yeah, it's double image. I'm looking at
Maybe that was the working title for face off.
Yeah. So
yeah, it's dumb. Yeah. I agree. That's the interface is the best. I mean, it's the best tech in here.
Yeah.
And for it being so refreshing and actually not being a QuickTime video. Now, it's funny that it's a DVD and it has the DVD logo next to it. Like, it's like, wait, how did he send this?
Through the mail.
That was my first thought. I'm like, did he send a DVD or did they burn it to a DVD? Did he email it? I only have 20 hours. I will be mailing you a DVD today from Australia.
It's overnight, you sign parcel to get DVD.
Oh, yes. I definitely checked leave at door. It's very important.
We sent special courier to your door. You must sign for it. Well, if I have to pick tech, I'm going to go with the whole idea that we've got a vlog here, video log here. And just like the whole idea that in the script that you mentioned, Jonathan, that you were supposed to go talking back and forth, almost like we're doing right now putting this podcast together. So we've got a vlog here, and I think that's kind of neat.
So it's almost like FaceTime.
We only have 20 more hours of this recording. I'm sorry. You're sorry.
We're all sorry.
Johnny, what about you?
I'm going to go with the, like, weird medieval furniture that's in the room. Specifically the chair that makes Tom Cruise look larger than what he is.
That's called a big boy chair. It has a higher chair, seat.
Yeah.
So I've noticed, I noticed something later in the weeks that just keeps repeating in every one of these minutes, but I'll wait for that one. But it has to do with seated and standing positions. So
I can't wait. I can't wait to find out what this is.
Yeah.
Yeah, I'm also going to go with the GUI interface. So we've all decided it's unanimous. GUI interface minus one chair, because Johnny's going to be that person. That's fine. I love that. We love it when chairs get picked. That's how. That's a, hey, that's what makes it on the t-shirts.
Yep.
We have a t-shirt with a chair on it.
It's all that matters.
It's all that matters. Sell that merch. Yeah, it's a good place. This is a good place to stop. Well, thank you guys for coming, and we're going to do this all week long. Are you ready?
Absolutely.
Is it difficult?
Not at all. You guys are making it really easy on us first timers.
It's not Michigan difficult.
Mission easy.
Exactly.
Awesome. Well, and on Mondays we do plugs, so you guys can do your plugs. I'll start. Johnny, let's start with you. I know you have a podcast, and I listen to it, so why don't you tell everybody about it?
Thanks. I do Austin Powers Minute. We do something like this, only with the Austin Powers movies. Currently on The Spy Who Shagged Me. So back catalog of the first movie if you guys want to go back and listen to it. And you can join everybody who listens mostly in the Electric Psychedelic Pussycat Swingers Club on Facebook.
Nice.
Awesome. Alan, your show I also listen to and have been on.
Yes, you have. It's called The Wilder Ride. We take a little different premise. Instead of saying we're sticking with a franchise, we're sticking with an actor. And we're looking at the body of work of Gene Wilder. Our first season was Young Frankenstein. We analyze that 1 minute at a time. And at the very end, we tease that we're going to bring Blazing Saddles to season two, which will be in early 2019. In the meantime, we've been trying to do what we can as all podcasters to try to generate a little bit of revenue to help offset all of our fun and costs and all of this stuff. And so we've been doing a special Halloween poltergeist show for our Patreon subscribers. So you can find everything about us at thewilderride.com, our Patreon page, our Facebook page, our Twitter page, even our Instagram page. It's all under The Wilder Ride.
We're everywhere. You know where we are. We're at minuteimpossible.com. That's where 110 episodes of our last movie are available, plus all of our Fallout coverage when Fallout came out. We also have done 26 minutes of this movie, so you can find all of our episodes there on your any podcaster of your podcatcher of your choice. And we have a Patreon also. We are doing some off some Patreon episodes as we go through the year, because we can't just talk about Mission Impossible. We have to talk about other things. So go over there and have a look, and go to TeePublic. Our TeePublic store link is on there. We have a lot of fun t-shirts, a lot of inside jokes about Mission Impossible. So I like them. They're comfortable. So wear them. And until tomorrow, I've been Jonathan.
I've been Chris.
I'm Alan.
Oh, I've been Johnny.
Perfect. You can edit, guys. This minute will self-destruct.
Insert sound.
See you next time on the show. It's done. It was so fun. Thanks for listening to Minute Impossible. Possible. Minute Impossible.